B-Pod Studios.
Fred, hello.
Hey, guys.
Hello.
Hey.
What's going on? Are you on fire?
How you doing, Stanky Lane?
You know I went a year without touching myself?
I love meatballs.
Do you?
Let's go Red Sox.
Ammonia is not contagious.
What is not contagious?
Ammonia.
Hit me like a bomb, bomb, bomb.
Go Red Sox.
Hit me like a bomb, bomb, bomb.
Wall day, well, yeah.
5-15-75.
Hello. Welcome to the show.
Hello.
It's best to get out, but in certain situations you have no option. You must. For me, I am civil to everybody I come across, but I certainly, most certainly have a plan to kill everybody in this room and make my exit if need be. So just have your plan laid out. Be safe. Be aware. Self-defense is about awareness.
If you were to kill John Wallach, how would you do it? This man right here with the glasses.
A very civil man. You wouldn't want to do that to me. That isn't nice.
I don't know. I'd probably just run through him real quick.
Would you break his glasses?
I'd leave him last.
Yeah.
He's a nice guy, so I'll kill him last.
There you go. Thank you.
Just text USA to 696969. Just text NUT to 696969. That's RACK to 696969.
Hey, happy Tuesday.
.5 of Sports Hub. It is Toucher and Rich. 603. We got very, very, very lucky to have in studio this morning in the Town Fair Tire Studio. Mr. Ted Johnson filling in for Fred today. He was going to be on vacation for a while. Good morning.
Rich, how are we doing? John, good to see you guys.
Ted Johnson.
Thanks for having me on today and the next couple days. It's always a pleasure to work with you guys. So thank you for having me in here today.
Now, can we thank Force Factor? Did you text in the middle of the night 696969 the word nut? Or?
Just text nut to 696969.
Are you man enough to do that?
Yeah, I have my own ways to get take care of that, if you will. I don't need to call 69 nut, but I think it was last week that you guys played that for the first time, and I was rolling.
Oh,
absolutely
yeah.
Love it. Just, I mean, you talk about. I just love the companies will. I mean, just sell out, go all in.
Oh, sure.
On their marketing campaigns like that, and just unabashedly just 6969 nuts.
And like, you know, unfortunately, because we're in the medium of radio, you're only hearing half of the greatness, because I mean, what you hear there obviously is hey guys, you America sucks now, we're all wimps, our dads had more testosterone than us, and it shows like these guys like coming out of coal mines, like probably dying at the age of 40.
You know, it's right,
like, they were way the hell more, they may have died in half the amount of time that you're going to, but damn it, they were manly. And then they had like, but meanwhile, there's like American flags being flown. And when they're like, guys, you having a hard time in the bedroom? And they show like a champagne bottle being popped and like a rocket being shot up. I'm like, this isn't even subtle in the type of imaging they're trying to put out there. And then it's like,
it's in your face, man.
Oh yeah, do it for America, because America.
Not for yourself, but for your country.
Yeah, right, right, right. You owe it to your country to spend money at Walmart to buy our kick-ass product. And by the way, that's what they're like. We're hitting up. We're off the charts at Walmart. I'm like, well, I bet you are. Oh, that was the best. And I don't even know if it's like, because I the only reason I saw that was because I was on the West Coast when I went on vacation. I was out in California, so, and I was watching like garbage television, and this was garbage television at like midnight or 1 o'clock. So that means that if they're buying East Coast time, and it's a national show, that's the kind of stuff that runs at 3 and 4 in the morning. Like those, you know, those, you know, dollar a holler hour, they call it, where it costs basically nothing to advertise on these late night shows. So I had not seen any commercial like that. Ever since then, I've had people, since we played those commercials, people contacting me and like, dude, these commercials are getting even worse. Like, and then they said there's one that's probably trolling me because one says, text Rich to 696969. And I'm like, all right. Text Toucher to 696969. Oh, yeah, baby.
That's radio gold. This 6969 nut was when you played it last week, I fell out of my chair when I heard that the first time. And it's funny, though, that's the kind of stuff that if you ever bring it up to me, because I used to pedal testosterone back in Houston, you know, the low T center. I'm a big fan of the low T center. You know, oh, yeah. No, I don't get it. I mean, nine out of 10 guys, I'm good. Sure. I don't need the hustle. I don't have a problem with that, you know. and then a month later, they come back, loop around to me. Hey, Ted, what was the number for that? What can I get? So, like, the initial reaction is usually, I'm good. I don't need all that. Okay. All right. I mean, we all naturally produce less and less testosterone the older we get. Just saying, it could help you out. So, anyway, that's, that is something, believe it or not, any testosterone related products, I'm all for, good for it. Go for it, guys.
So, you know, I've heard of companies advertising this, and there's like apparently reputable places, like I'm sure the one you went to that is like a clinic.
Very reputable, yes.
Okay. So what is it, an injection?
It's an injection.
Okay.
It's an injection. And it's all above board. I mean, you get blood work, and so you do, they have doctor's assistants there. And it's one of those deals. They all have, you know, pretty little assistants that walk around, and they just, which isn't a bad marketing strategy.
That's supposed to help with the low testosterone.
Well, it's just to help relax you, maybe. I don't know. You go into these.
Gets the arrow pointed in the right direction before the injection.
Right, right. So, it's basically, yeah, you just, you know, pull your pants down, and they just, right in your buttocks, and
nice.
And I'll see you next week. So it's once a week I would go.
Okay,
it was pure testosterone shot into your butt, and it was good. I at the age of 40 I went and got tested. I had a little bit below average testosterone levels for my age, so they put me on testosterone replacement therapy protocol, and I was a big fan of it.
Okay,
I wasn't afraid of it, and so I was like, hell, I'm not playing football anymore. So it helps, man. It definitely helps, man.
What is the difference between what is being offered now and what like was being passed around the locker rooms of, you know, many of like what, how the potency, how different is it?
You would be shocked. You'd be shocked when I tell you, I never saw it in an NFL locker room. I never saw HGH. I never saw testosterone. Mm-hmm. I never saw steroids. Well, Ted, but you're just being ignorant. I never saw it. I mean, I put my hand on a Bible and tell you right now, I swear to you, I never saw, you know, PEDs.
Sure. Because if someone was doing it, wouldn't you say that they would probably want to hide it?
Right,
make sure nobody knew.
Yeah, I think in baseball it was kind of like everybody was like, "Come on in, let's all take, you know, let's say we're all this, let's all stick ourselves, you know." And but in the NFL, I never saw it.
Okay.
And you think of all the sports that they would be the most prevalent, but don't forget, the NFL had the strongest testing program of all the major sports. It was implemented in 1989 to get tested for PEDs, steroids. Testosterone, HGH, not so much. It was, I think they test for now. It's blood.
Yeah.
I'm not even sure they test for now, but I could be wrong. But the urine, you take a urine sample and test for testosterone, I believe, and then, of course, steroids. So but that was implemented in 1989, and you got tested all the time. So there wasn't a lot of that going on, believe it or not. I know it's hard for people to believe. Today's NFL player, my guess is, tries to kind of bump up the testosterone level if they can, and also the HGH, growth hormones, if they can, because I'm not sure it's tested in today's NFL.
Well, I mean, what's his name but got popped? I mean, Edelman had some the PED.
They
never found out what exactly it was.
It was so cutting edge; they had no idea what it was. But because they didn't recognize the substance, that's what popped them to begin with.
Interesting. Something foreign that they'd,
exactly.
So what is the feeling that you get on the ones that you've taken recently that are like the ones that are sanctioned? Like what happens to your body? What do you notice?
You don't feel anything. It's not like, I'm a guy that likes to feel something right when I put it in my mouth.
Sure.
Right. Or, you know, right. It's, that's kind of what I, you know, that's what I like. But with testosterone, you don't even feel it.
Do you feel your workouts are easier or?
You know, it's a very subtle, Rich.
Just
you feel like you might have just a little bit longer lasting energy throughout the day.
Okay.
So, you know, if your testosterone numbers are, you know, 230, You know, it might, you know, you do a, when I'd go there for the, my shot at the low T center, you know, it bumps it up to 900 for 2 to 3 days.
That seems then, pretty big, pretty big jump. I don't know about what number you're supposed to have, but that seems like a big jump.
It's not that big of a jump.
Okay.
And it's just not, it's not anything. All of a sudden you just have this huge amount of energy. You just feel like you have a more sustained level of energy maybe throughout the day. So things that at the end of the day, when you're really usually, you know, worn down and it might not have, you know, the energy to do the things, you just have a little bit more sustained energy, you know, better workouts. You
sure.
Know? So you push, you can push yourself a little bit more in the workout, but it's not this drastic kind of like, oh yeah, let's go.
Right.
You're just boundless energy. Very subtle, very subtle. And it's just kind of a little bit longer sustained energy is all it is.
I do that. I mean, I hear some of those commercials and I'm like, as long as the place is like reputable and it's not, you know, and there's some people I know who have done it before, and it seems to be all right.
I think it's very safe. And again, and it's you do blood work, so like pretty much every 3 months.
Yeah.
And so, and I, what I found, and what I think a lot of the patients found going to places like this, was that if you had, if something was off in your levels or your numbers, it would alert them to, hey, you need to check this. This, something's going on here. And it's helped guys detect cancers or detect other problems in their body,
like the white blood cells are going nuts,
right by just doing the blood work for your testosterone stuff.
Jeez, well, that's interesting. It was funny, Frank made a crack about that yesterday. He goes, I'm going to a low T center, and I was like, really?
Oh,
and he was like,
funny.
No, I'm joking. I'm like, no, I mean, it's a legit thing. Yeah. I thought you were going to go there.
Yeah. A lot of guys, it's a lot of guys are embarrassed. Man,
well, I mean, Fred's just not, he's not interested. I think if we know anything about Fred, he's just not interested.
Dan O'Brien, yes.
Sorry, Rich, every single salesperson for the Sports Hub just woke up and they're like, ding. I've got two sponsors right now.
Dude, I would do
in the studio.
I'm not kidding you, I would do
I
it.
Know you would.
If it gives you like more energy.
Big time.
Especially what we, you know, I don't know if it's the case with you, Wallach, but I mean, I get 5 hours of sleep a day, I think.
That's about it.
So, I mean, there's certain...
It's in shifts. It's not five continuous hours. It's like 4 or 5 at night, and then maybe you get an hour and a half during the day.
Dan O'Brien, describe my demeanor at 10:07.
Well, you're still bouncing off the walls.
Yes.
Coming down off that high.
A little less.
Sorry, Ted, but as the meeting goes on, we all seem to just look at each other and it's like, we might not be able to accomplish anything right now.
Yeah.
Talk to me at 3 o'clock.
Or right, Rich.
Check in with me this afternoon. Because you, and like you've said, your brain literally shuts off. I find sometimes that I have trouble, like, you know, like you just want to, I could sleep right now, but then you have to stay awake.
I could see that being, doing a morning show like you guys do day in, day out. Mm-hmm. That you, but 10 o'clock. It is such, I never thought I would say this, about how exhausted I would be after I would do a show when I first got into this business. And it was like the minute the mic goes off, it is like crap. I mean, I'm yawning. I don't have energy to do anything else. I didn't realize just having cognitively being fully engaged for 4 hours, like you have to be in this job, how exhausting it can be.
Well, more than anything, it's that because we cover the games that happened last night,
right,
we really can't go to bed until about at least 11 o'clock. So, and I'm usually up until about 11:30, so I get maybe three and a half hours of sleep at night, and I try to sleep an hour and a half during the day. And that's why I've because I've had that schedule for so long, my body is trained that from 6 to 10, I'm on. But I'm telling you, like 10:30, you know what it is? It's after the show, as soon as I eat. Mm. Like, I can't eat during the show, or I'll just... I just fall asleep on the microphone.
Your stomach,
I will. I can't do it. But, like, like if I, like, at 10:30 or 11 o'clock, I go to Chipotle, and I just, like, shove, like, a chicken bowl in my face. Yeah. Like, driving home, I'm dangerous, man.
Can't keep your eyes open. You're all over the... Swerving all over the road.
No, just get me the hell home, and so I can get off the road. Yeah. But...
Well, the testosterone might help things like that. You know, and then a side little benefit to testosterone, well, listen, huh?
I mean, you know, I could use a little help on these. Jacked up pecs that I've got here too.
Jacked up, Rich. Doesn't hurt it's not a bad
you
thing.
You two
for
can
the,
look like
for
Ted
the libido
Johnson.
Either.
You two can look exactly like Ted Johnson.
Sooner or later, he's going to have a picture of the two of us. He's going to say before and after.
Yeah.
It's going to be me. It's going to be me, baby. All right. Well, let's get to what happened last night. That Celtics game was weird. It was weird. I was at the game last night, and it was. I have to tell you, the Denver Nuggets are just a team full of nobodies that are going to destroy the NBA in the playoffs. That team looks good. and nobody gives a rat's ass about the Denver Nuggets, but my God, did they look good. Doesn't mean the Celtics didn't shoot themselves in the foot over and over and over again last night. We will get to that just after this.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Toucher and Rich are back on TV.
I really didn't know that.
Twitch.tv. Follow the Sports Hub. Watch and react with 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Recapping what you missed. It's Toucher and Rich.
What happened last night? 98.5 The Sports Hub. It is Toucher and Rich real quick. Let's take call one. Manny, what's up, man? You're on Touch and Rich with Ted Johnson.
Good morning, Steak and Eggs. Hey, Ted, how are you?
Good, buddy. What's going on?
Good. Hey, listen, I was at the gym the other day where you work out, and I was like maybe a halfway through my workout. I do about 45 minutes every other day, and I sat back and I was watching you, and you know what? I just threw the towel over my shoulder, got dressed, and went and had a burger.
Yes. Yes.
Why bother?
Yes. That, I want to break your spirit, my man. Manny, I want to break your will.
Well, Teddy, let me tell you. You broke my will, and I just told everybody that's it. I went, I got a gallon of ice cream after the burger. I said, you know what? I don't understand this. But, hey, I was hesitant about, you said, you know, before that you didn't mind if people come up and said hi. I wanted to come up and say, you know, man, what's your workout routine like? I didn't want to bother you or anything, but man, how tall are you, Ted?
I'm 6'4".
6'4". Holy yeah. Shit.
Okay. Okay.
Okay. Use that, but thank you. Oh, man, I want Manny, call back when you get a chance. Just don't swear next time. Right?
He looks taller, though. I agree. I know exactly what Manny's talking about.
All right.
Ted is an imposing individual. He is.
I'll say this. By all means, come up to me in the gym. I mean, you know, don't get into it like a 5 or 10 minute. But come up and say hi. I don't mind that. I love the gym. I'm there almost every day for a couple hours. So I don't mind when people come up and engage me and want to chat it up a little bit. I get energy from that. You know, some guys don't. Some guys, there's, I would say more guys than not that I played with or that I know, you know, they're former athletes, really don't want to be bothered by that.
Yeah.
I'm just happy to be back here in the city I love after being away for 8 years. And so I don't mind the engaging people. I'm from the South. I got Southern sensibilities. That's how my dad is, Ted Sr., man. He's never met a stranger. So it's in my nature to be engaging with people. So please, at the gym, that's where I love to be. So don't be afraid. If you see me there, come up, say hi. And we'll have a nice time.
You love when random guys come up and want to spot you, right?
No, it's the guys that ask for a spot. Okay, all right, you know, like once or twice, okay. But when you're like, getting, you know, it's your third or fourth set, and you've asked me your 3-4 times in a row.
Yeah.
You know, you
got your own thing to do.
Yeah, now it's okay. It was fun to do it first.
Right. Now you're being a jackass.
Now that's
what you do is you reverse it on him. Say, okay, only if you spot me. And how much you putting up these days?
I don't know. I'm glad you asked, John. I'm throwing up. What did I see? Yesterday, I like to feel the heavyweight. I do. A lot of guys at my age. So I still like to feel. Yeah, I repped out. It was one of my better bench days. So I repped out 290.
Oh, my God.
10 times. So 290, 10 times. I'm getting up there. Could
you squat anywhere near that?
No.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. You know, I was a little bit inspired. I know you guys love talking about movies. I saw a really cool movie documentary.
Pumping Iron?
It was kind of along those lines. Now, if you haven't seen Pumping Iron, go watch it. It's one of the classics, okay, with Arnold and Lou Ferrigno. But this was about Ronnie Coleman. Ronnie Coleman, 8-time Mr. Olympia.
Of course.
8-time Mr. Olympia, and what his life looks like now after years of competing and lifting weights. He can barely walk, and it's painful to watch him walk, but he goes to the gym still at 4:30 every morning and does what he can do.
Now,
and
is it because he goes to the gym every morning that he can barely walk, or is that part of it?
It's because he's just he's the guy that was, you saw him, I saw him put 800 pounds of squat, you know, weight on his back and squat it 2 to 3 times, I think.
Oh,
and it's when he was really a highly competitive bodybuilder back in the late 90s, early 2000s.
Yeah.
And it's just, I mean, Rich, his leg, you've never seen a body. I mean, it's like Arnold Schwarzenegger, like, you know, Flex Wheeler, like these massive human beings, but like, and then some.
Yeah.
Like, Ronnie Coleman was the benchmark for that industry.
But no one wants to really be that, right? I mean, that's at a level where, I mean, there's guys you see sometimes, you know, where you go, that's just grotesque. Like, I couldn't, being that big, and on top of that,
it's an addiction.
It's got to be.
An absolute addiction at a certain point. It gets out of hand because they look like circus freaks.
Yeah, right.
But they are addicted to that. They can't stop. And it just keeps going and going. I see people at the gym where you can just see it. It's like, man, they're not going to stop. I mean, there's a point in which it goes from, like, just having a really nice body to you don't even look human anymore.
Like, can they stretch? You know what I mean? It's like I always wonder, like, when you get that big, like, do they even take any kind of, like, yoga or kind of any flexibility type of classes?
Nope.
See, what a miserable way to live, I would think, you know?
Yeah, but they don't know it is just so in their DNA, and it just is so who they are.
Yeah.
And the muscles and the pump and the vascularity and that look is just something they can't get enough of. They want more and more and more. There's a guy, you guys, that comes in. He's looked like a former bodybuilder. He's huge, and he just kind of walks in real slow, like shuffles in, and he just looks up, hey, Ted, hey, Steve, you know, and he's just kind of barely gets to the locker room, and he sits down and he can barely put his shoes on, and then he goes out and does, you know, a two-hour workout that should maybe take you 40 minutes.
Yeah.
But he's just going so slow, but he can't stop going in there. He loves it, he said.
Do they do cardio? Do those guys, like, do any, like, treadmill work or anything like that, or is it all weights?
Very rarely.
Okay.
But most bodybuilders you'll see, They love to do. There's one exercise as far as cardio that they like to do is sit on a bike. The bike, you know, and I don't know how much stress they put on themselves, but, you know, there's bodybuilders that try and have a bit of a balanced kind of, you know, approach to it. Like, you know, the heart is a muscle too.
Yeah, you're right.
And some of them get that, but most of them, they go in there and they totally bypass the cardio part, which is not good. So you have all these guys are just jacked up.
Yeah, but their hearts
aren't in good shape, you know? And so they neglect that part of it.
That just seems so wrong. Let's go to Nick on line two. I like this. We got bodybuilding questions for Ted. Go ahead, Nick. You're on Toucher and Rich.
How you doing, guys? Ted, first off, you're awesome on the radio, and thank you for being here.
Thank you.
Would you say it's more of an addiction or more of the same sort of body dysmorphia that people would have when they're you know, they never think they're skinnier enough.
Sure.
Or they're. Is it more of an addiction, or is it more like a body dysmorphia thing? I'll hang up.
I should have made that point. It's really probably more of that. That Nick just said. So many bodybuilders, and me to some degree, I'll even admit it, there's body image issues to some degree. It's just there's body image issues that people. It's very unhealthy. It is amazing, and you know what? When you go into, I don't even bring up my experiences in treatment centers, but you know, there's a lot of people that I've been in treatment center with have a food addiction, anorexic, bulimic,
yep,
and they just think they're so skinny and so just emaciated. They want to be skinnier.
Yeah,
they think they're fat.
Yeah.
And it's just a sad thing because that's an addiction or an issue that people have that's very difficult. Body image issues are very difficult to overcome, especially food addiction, because you need it to survive.
I'm sure,
right? And so food just becomes almost it's just a negative for a lot of people. But yeah, I think there's a lot of people that are bodybuilders have body image issues. No question.
Is there also a striving to be king of the gym, you know, the guy who walks in and just looks around and goes, I own this place? Every gym seems to have one dude like that.
Oh, no, my gym, I love it. It's every, like, half the people in there are like, and it's funny, but it's the one place that it's okay to just jack it up, you know, like get your tight shirts on, your compression shirts, get it popping, stare at yourself at the mirror all day.
Now you're talking my language.
And it's like everybody kind of gets it. It's like, I mean, you know how many guys are just checking themselves in the mirror? And it's just like,
do you ever call them out? Well, the guys who show up and like honestly, will do maybe an hour long workout and maybe 45 to 50 minutes of that is them just standing around.
Yeah, okay. There's guys that are just, let's face it, there's guys that are just kind of douchey at the gym. They just are. There's a million examples I could give you of that.
Sure. Puke bucket guy.
Oh, yeah. But we all kind of do that to some degree. Kind of check ourselves out, you know? But, you know, there's just guys that are just blatantly just right out there are like flexing and because they compete. And so they're like, they're trying their, you know, what does their tricep look like from here? Bam, you know, and let's see what the traps look like. Bam, you know, and so they do all these poses and you just go, well, it's kind of, this is what you sign up for in a gym like this. It's a meathead gym and I am okay with that.
I was just going to say, what are you?
Yeah,
exactly.
I'm a meathead at heart. I'm a meathead.
All right. Well, we'll have to finish this discussion later on because I'm getting fascinated with like kings at the gym and the pose you just made with your hands. Yeah. Like, bam.
Yeah.
We will have to continue this discussion. But after John Walk's headlines, let's get into what happened with the Celtics last night. And then more Meathead Radio after that.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Donuts, hot sauce, candy. Matt Schaefer has you covered with the Sports Hub Grub Podcast. 98.5 thesportshub.com, bpodstudios.com, and the Sports Hub app.
There's someone very special I want you guys to meet.
Toucher and Rich.
I just want to tell you both good luck.
On 98.5 the Sports Hub.
It is Toucher and Rich. Lucky to have Mr. Ted Johnson in studio with us morning. And what a weird-ass night at the TD Garden.
At the end of the final 4 minutes, Boston down 104-94. Going into Philadelphia on Wednesday night. Al Horford throws it away. Tried to pull his pass back, but Harris filled the passing lane, goes the distance, and scores.
Great ball fake, dude.
12-point Denver lead, 106-94.
Yep, you won't find any of their jerseys on the top sellers on the NBA website, but you will find them today at the top of the Western Conference, or tied, rather. The Denver Nuggets step on the throat to the Celtics in the fourth quarter, 114-105, the final score. Now, first of all, as we were saying before, the Denver Nuggets are a damn good basketball team, and one that will make TV executives vomit if they happen to make the NBA Finals, because no one cares about the Nuggets. But that's not to say the Celtics didn't have a huge hand and shooting themselves in the foot last night. It's very rare that you can see the exact moment a team's soul is ripped out of them on the court, but there is no question that all of us saw it with 1.1 seconds left in the third.
Marcus Morris throws it the length of the floor, looking for the corner, and he throws it away out of bounds, and now the Nuggets will get it under the Celtics' basket.
Well, that couldn't have worked out any worse if you're the Celtics.
Millsap will trigger the under bounds. Nobody's guarding the inbound. Millsap finds the cutter. Craig, two-hand slam. Disastrous finish to the third quarter for the Celtics. Oh, that was ugly.
It was at the game yesterday.
Jalen Brown especially.
Oh, I mean,
how many lapses did he have last
night? And the thing is, he lost control in the fourth quarter.
And he's been great.
And that play at the end of the third was the trigger for it. It just got worse. It was like a ball rolling downhill. It got worse and worse and worse for him.
So Torrey Craig from Denver had just cut the Celtics' lead to 2 points. He hit this three-point shot from the right corner. Brad Stevens calls a timeout because he wants one last shot. Marcus Morris, as you heard there, was supposed to heave the inbounds pass down to the other end, but instead he threw it directly to the Nuggets bench, like nowhere near anyone wearing green. So what does Denver do? They get the ball back underneath their own basket. Paul Millsap inbounds the ball, and Craig dunks it right on Jalen Brown's head. It couldn't have been more embarrassing of a loss. The Celtics gave up 5 points in 1.1 seconds of the third, and that was that. You want to talk about a turning point? I mean, they were just, after that moment, that horrible thing that every once in a while creeps into the Celtics did, and it was just like everyone was off from that point on.
Well, it was a part of an 11-0 run. They went from down 5 to up 6 or in a run that spanned the third and the fourth quarters. I was giving the Celtics credit. I mean, Denver is a really good team. They're one of the four best teams in the NBA, and no one's paying attention to them because they just figure it's a foregone conclusion that Golden State's going to win this thing. Nikola Jokic is the best center in the league.
Well, let's get to that real quick.
Let me finish the thought. Sure. You can in a second. I just want to say one thing. Denver beat the Celtics last night. Celtics didn't lose that game. The Celtics fell behind, but Denver's bench, I mean, how many clutch threes did they make? It had nothing to do with the Celtics defense, which was there for the most part. It had to do with a lot of shot making by Denver and Jokic with brilliant passing skills.
Well, absolutely, but I also think that the Celtics didn't help themselves in that fourth
quarter. No, but Denver won that game. Sure. Celtics didn't lose it.
Well, however, on a court full of gigantic human beings, Jokic just dwarfed them all.
Beasley, over-the-shoulder pass. Jokic, same spot for three. Got another one. Largest lead now for Denver, 101-92.
So I've rarely seen someone who looks so unathletic and lumbering be so dominant on a basketball court. Yeah. 21 points, 13 rebounds. Dude always seems out of breath. It's as if someone put a Nuggets jersey on a human sack of potatoes. There was this period of time, too, when Jokic and Mason Plumlee were on the court together, and I thought, there is no excuse for the Nuggets to get literally every single rebound for their entirety of the game out there. Holy, it looked like Godzilla and King Kong were battling amongst tiny city folk with those two guys out there. And it was disastrous for them. Like, no one could even get close. Mason Plumlee, who we kind of have joked about in the past.
Is that Fred's Plumlee?
That's Fred's Plumlee.
I know there are two others.
Okay, it was Mason, right, who played for Brooklyn.
That night, we went to that Mason, game. Miles, and Marshall, three of them.
So we all went to this game at the Nets versus the Celtics.
At Barclays Center.
We went to Barclays Center. And Fred, I don't know why, but it was funny.
Well, he was drunk.
That is why. Fred had been drinking. And, like, anytime, like, Plumlee got the ball, he'd go, Plumlee. Like, he literally wasn't paying attention to the game at all.
He didn't care.
When the ball touched Plumlee, he said, Plumlee. I think Plumlee had a good game that night,
He did. He had a really good game that night. So every time we see this guy, we think of Fred. And last night's one of those nights.
And the two of those guys just standing next to each other, I mean, just monstrous. I mean, when was the last time you had a front court like that? I mean, where you had two guys that big just standing there right under the bucket.
Today's day and age, it's an anomaly because the NBA has, through their own evolution, gotten a lot smaller. Celtics have tried more recently to get bigger, where you have Aaron Baines on the floor with Daniel Tyser, Aaron Baines on the floor with Al Horford to try and combat things like that. But neither of those two guys, and Horford's pretty athletic, but neither of those two guys are athletic as Jokic and Plumlee.
You saw the Pelicans last year try to do it with DeMarcus Cousins and Anthony Davis.
Right.
Oh, we're gonna outsize you. Well, that's not today's NBA, right?
No, I mean, it's not.
It's just
not. But it works for these guys because they've got such great shooters.
And Jokic is that good.
And he's a stretch five. I mean, he can shoot the three, as you saw at the end of the game. He's like draining threes. Al Horford was the one draining threes versus him earlier in the game. And then all of a sudden, you have Jokic sitting there draining threes to seal the game. But you mentioned his passing. His passing is brilliant.
Oh, yeah.
His passes are brilliant.
But he looks winded the second he takes the court. It's like,
It's true.
I imagine if, like, you know, they do some mic'd up segments. I wonder if, like, they did an NBA mic'd up. All you would hear on his mic was,
son of a bitch.
His mouth is always open, like he's just sucking in air.
Right, his arms are kind of doughy, but he's just smashing balls out of the air. Yeah. Who did he embarrass? Both Plumlee and Jokic had their moments yesterday of embarrassing guys in the Celtics. I think there was a Jalen Brown layup. Oh, well, there was a Daniel Tice moment that was. And Daniel Tice is a pretty big guy. Yeah. Not next to these two.
Plumlee, I think, is the one that swatted him down.
It was like, all right, well, no foul. All ball.
Oh, yeah.
Just knocking you right on your ass in front of Wick Grosbeck. Oh, it was awesome.
Those two, but you talk about those two big guys, those two big bastards right there that they have, you know, defending the rim, they out-rebounded too. I mean, and the rebounds is one of those things where you see a lot of times, what's the problem with the Celtics? If you just go to the, if you're the box, you know, the box score bozo guy, like I can be sometimes, you go and you go, okay, they got out-rebounded 51 to 37. That's a huge discrepancy. And that's, sometimes that's like one of the things you look to see if how the Celtics losses, they get out-rebounded too much.
It was like the gym coach, like an elementary school holding the ball up going, who wants it? Who wants it? All the kids like jumping for it.
Yeah.
So it looked like under the basket. Like you couldn't, I mean, Jokic obviously is a monster. I don't know how you can be that big and continue to play at a high level, but I mean, he's doing it. And that he's going to be one of those guys that in the playoffs, I'm telling you, it's a nightmare. But I want to see, what's their record against the Warriors? I would actually like to see that. Because I was thinking about that last night. All right, because, we'll take a quick break. And also, we got to talk about what happened with Isaiah last night.
Mm-hmm.
I was at the game, as I mentioned, and very cool tribute. The stuff that happened afterwards, if you've not heard it, is fairly interesting. That came from, I'm going back and forth on what I think about Isaiah Thomas and this whole Celtics fascination. But we will discuss that. Also, Dustin Pedroia seems to be popping off a little bit when it comes to his place on this Red Sox team. We'll get to that in just a moment.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Sports Hub. Listening at home to Toucher and Rich is simple with your Amazon or Google smart speaker.
Oh, I need one of those.
Just say, play 98.5 The Sports Hub.
.985 Sports Hub. It is Toucher and Rich. Ted Johnson in studio this morning. And after seeing those sweet pictures of Bill Belichick in Barbados.
Oh, yeah.
Ooh, la la, Mr. Belichick.
Feels like, here I am. Drink it in.
He's got
the start of free agency, Rich. I mean, it was the start of the tampering period. I mean, not the legit time that free agency started. But my gosh, he's down there chilling with Lynn. I'm thinking, really, bro? This is the no days off guy.
That is the best, like, middle finger to everybody else.
Big time.
We were talking about this the other day, and I was thinking about him on the beach, and, you know, all of these big free agency moves are being made, and meanwhile, he just, like, picks up his flip phone, because I'm sure it's a flip phone that he rocks. He calls Ernie Adams and says, get me Brandon Bolden. Just hangs it up, lays back on the beach. You know,
locked up Brandon Bolden on a 2-year deal. Sweet.
I got this figured out. We got it unlocked. And you know what? They're still going to go to the AFC Championship with all this.
Aaron, get John Simon for a 1-year deal.
Well, I mean, after getting a little bit of crap for, as you said, being on the beach, I guess Drew Rosenhaus, the man who likes to karate chop boards and dress in like a karate gi, like he's 10 years old on 60 Minutes. He is Gronk's agent, and he came out and said, no, believe it or not, on the, you know, the early in free agency while I was in Barbados, we had some phone calls. You know, I think that Trent Brown was one thing that they had spoken about, or blah, blah, blah. So he's basically saying, Bill's working, trust me.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. Right. And did you hear the time in which he said they talked?
Yeah, 4:30 in the morning.
4:30 in the morning.
Yeah.
You're
just watching film. You
know? So what do the Patriots need exactly? They need a kicker and a punter. I know that.
They do need that.
And we need how many more wide receivers?
Well, maybe one of them is named Jordy Nelson. Because according to reports, Jordy Nelson, one of the teams that is interested, are the Patriots. Now, he just visited the Seahawks. Or rather, he's visiting the Seahawks today. And there are also some other teams that are interested, including the Titans, of course, because the Patriots are interested. And there's always someone from the tree who's like, oh, Belichick wants something.
So true. No.
And I mean,
more now than ever, too, Rich.
Oh, tell me about it. I mean, all of these players that, I mean, think of Adam Humphries. He was a guy that the Patriots were rumored to want.
Cole Beasley.
Cole Beasley's another guy. Yeah. Danny Amendola.
He was a Giant. Okay. But it's unlike anything we've ever seen. If you were a Patriot from the last 5 to 10 years, you have a golden parachute somewhere out there, because either Detroit's going to pick you up, Tennessee's going to pick you up, the Texans are going to pick you up, or the Miami Dolphins are going to pick you up. Yeah. I mean, all these, and you got guys that are not only coaches, former coaches now being head coaches that were here with the Patriots, but a lot of front office people that are in all these, a lot of these different teams that were from New England originally. And so you have a ton of former Patriot personnel in front offices now across the league and as head coaches across the league.
Yeah.
And so these players, you know, you look at what's going on in Buffalo.
Yep.
You know, Brian Daboll, the offensive coordinator, he's plucking, you know, Patriot type players or even former Patriots, because Brian Daboll, of course, was here as the tight ends coach here for a time.
Well, what do you think of Jordy Nelson's game? I mean, last year, he had a pretty good year. He had 63 passes, 739 yards, three touchdowns.
Hey, 11 per,
yeah. Yeah, so, what do you think he's going to be wanting in free agency?
Well, he's going to be 34 in May. And the one good thing you can say about Jordy Nelson, and Jordy Nelson's a mediocre wide receiver at this point in his career, obviously.
That's not bad. I mean, with those kind of numbers.
700 yards and three touchdowns in 15 games is mediocre.
Okay,
it is.
But he's the second best receiver on the Patriots if he shows up.
Congratulations. That's wonderful. Right? The one good thing about Jordy Nelson, and this is a big problem during the summer last year when wide receivers were dropping like flies and they were bringing in guys off the street just to make sure they had five on the roster, is that he plays. And ever since he tore his ACL, 4 years ago? Something like that?
3 years ago.
Yeah, 3 years ago. But pretty much has not been hurt since then. So I know, obviously, as receivers and any athlete gets into the mid-30s, no more injury prone. Mm-hmm. But based on the recent track record, at least Nelson, if you sign him, should be out there for the whole season. That's the positive. The negative is he's not much better than what you have.
The one thing I will say, though, is that the last 2 years, his numbers, even though they don't jump out at you comparatively speaking to his previous years, is that he had to play with Derek Carr, who's just a little overrated, not the best quarterback. And then the year before that, he had an injured Aaron Rodgers. And so he was dealing with backups there at Green Bay. So, I get the age thing is a factor. He's not the same guy. There was a period there, guys, where, I mean, he had 4 years of his 10-11-year career where he had, 1,100 yards plus.
Oh, I still remember him taking a slant and out running Darrell Revis to the end zone at Lambeau Field. I remember that.
But bring him in here. I don't care. Because you don't need the deep – you don't need him to run deep routes. He's a smart, savvy veteran. He was a very bright guy. And I think – look, Chris Hogan's gone. He's the perfect replacement for a Chris Hogan.
Yeah.
Yeah, make a 2-year deal.
A guy who gets ignored and disavowed in the offense?
Chris Hogan of 2016-17.
Sorry.
I didn't finish my thought, John. I was going to say that.
Mistake.
Yeah, is he the answer? No. But can he absolutely help, I think, on this team? Yes, he can.
He's a guy. He's a guy.
I mean, the Chiefs have got to be all in on this guy, because right now they've got a situation with Tyreek Hill that they're looking at where he might not be playing with the whole situation that he got in. What are they saying as far as the suspension he could get? I mean, I know that...
Nothing yet.
What's his name? He's got eight.
Yeah, Kareem Hunt.
Yeah, Kareem Hunt just got eight games. Yeah. So, I mean,
this has got to be, I would think, I could see this being a full year almost. Is that,
there's been he's had problems
broken
before.
Arm.
Yeah.
There's a prior history there that they'll probably take into account, even though we have no clue what Roger Goodell's criteria is for some of his punishments.
Well, say it's eight games. You still, if you're the Chiefs, got to look around.
Oh, for sure.
So, I mean, I would think that right now, if Seattle lets him leave, that's the one thing, because that's the first place he's visiting today. Jordy Nelson's
and Pete's got a thing for Jordy Nelson, reportedly that he wanted him last year before he signed with the Raiders. So I'm not sure.
Did you like Pete?
Pete, nicest head coach I've ever
had. Say all the nice things before you trash him.
That's a no.
Say all the nice things.
That's what this is. That's a no. you weren't here when we talked about his experience. You said, we went from Bill Parcells and, you knew where you had to be the entire time to Pete Carroll's guys, you guys are awesome.
Hey.
I'm pumped and jacked for practice today. You don't have to say anything, Ted. That's a no. He does not like Pete Carroll.
I had the conversation with Ted Senior, my dad. I called him after my third year with PS. Dad, I don't know how I'm going to come back and play for this team. I don't know how I'm going to do it. If I got to hear one more rah-rah speech, and Pete was the Let's go out there and win because it's fun, guys.
Oh, like, boy.
Dude, really? Like, Pete, like, it just got to a point. You talk about we all tuned him out. Pete's the nicest guy, type A, everything's positive, you know, but there was never a, really a sense of urgency, and you need to have a little bit of tension on a football team to be really good. There always needs to be this underlying kind of unsettledness, walking on eggshells type of thing, that when you open the door to go to work, like it is Belichick and Parcells, it smacks you in the face, and it's like, you better get your crap together.
Yeah.
Like, today, you better go. And get yourself going. Pete, you kind of... It was kind of like, yeah, you were on the team. You knew you weren't going to lose your job. There, you know, and Pete brought in question mark type players that maybe weren't all in. And he learned a lot. I think he learned a lot, obviously, from his experience here. But nicest guy in the world, but just didn't hold guys accountable and brought in questionable character type guys. So he got a little old. even though he's a sweetheart of a guy. Truly.
The best guy. Boy, you are from the South. Everyone always says, bless their heart before they rip him a new a-hole. You know?
That's the South.
All right. No commercials, just the headlines. Let's get to what Isaiah Thomas said yesterday after the game. It was a weird day. We'll just get into it right after the
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.